You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
And we are back, Hour 3, Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studio. Local, state, national man, we are covering down on all of the issues. And like the dude just said a minute ago, we are solid conservative and just plain right with a whole audience full of people out there we call Right Side Ruffians. And, you know, this show has taken off more than we ever, scripture says more than you could ever ask or imagine is, and I look at it once in a while. I think, how is this happening? What's happening because of y'all? I get to talk in the microphone. Boomer gets to run the board. You know, we have some kicks here in the studio, just laughing sometimes and cutting up and talking about conservative policy issues, doing what we can to enlighten, empower, and educate and entertain folks about conservative policy and conservative ways of life. But the reality is, if nobody listens, it makes no difference. So we know and do not take for granted that we have the best audience in the world, and we appreciate you. Thank you very much. Moving on to the next topic. You want to call in? I'll take it. 833-68-RIGHT. It's 833-687-4448. Okay. Number two. 2 hours, Boomer. I'm just now hitting number two.
Hey, huge topic. I mean, come on. Biden crying wolf.
Okay. Range anxiety. All right, Boomer, this is where we start doing therapy.
All right, here we go.
Because you didn't know it, brother, but you got some anxiety, some range anxiety. I mean, think about it. You're living down on the coastal regions of Alabama, down there in the nether regions of our state. Hurricane season. Hurricane kicks up. Huh? It's time to evacuate. Mass evacuation. They're flooding out of the coast. You, by the way, have a Chevy Volt.
Really?
Yeah. You have a Chevy Volt, but the power's been out for 3 days. And you're hoping you can get outside the range of the hurricane, which is now bearing down, bringing its catastrophe. Can you do it, or will you wind up on the side of the road wishing that you had, by God, kept your F-150 or whatever it was? What do you drive right now?
Tundra.
Tundra, that's right. Mm-hmm.
I wish I would have kept the Tundra.
I'm pretty sure.
I mean, absolutely. Have you seen those lines leaving on those interstates?
Yeah. Well, they call that range anxiety.
I would definitely have range anxiety.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. So right now, that's the pet phrase. If you're near a search engine, well, everybody is with your phones and all. But if you got a moment, just take a second and just type in the following: EV for electric vehicle, EV range anxiety. You did it earlier, didn't you?
I did it, and I'm telling you, there were so many
articles. It was everywhere. Yeah.
I honestly never really thought about it. I mean, I know we've talked about it, you know, oh, they can't go that far, but you're right. Range anxiety. I mean, if you got to get somewhere and you can't.
Well, here's the thing. They're blaming us. What they're doing now is they're blaming us.
They're blaming us.
They're basically saying, oh, the reason why the electric vehicle market's not taking off because too many of you have this range anxiety and you need to go ahead and get treatment for it or something. Take a Xanax so we can start selling more electric vehicles. I mean, I'll be honest with you. If I'm on a long trip, if I'm driving, you ever driven across Texas? It's like nine hours of nothing.
Oh, absolutely. Where are they going to put a charging station there?
Well, you're driving across Texas. I get range anxiety in a gas-powered vehicle. I want my combustion engine to make it across Texas, at least to the next gas station. Man. But range anxiety. And I'm not kidding, folks. Google it. This morning I was resourcing the show because here's the deal. My first story. Oh. I pulled this one off of justthenews.com. Report, California likely to ban sales of gas-powered cars by 2035.
Oh, man.
Hang on, let me gather myself. California is going to literally, they're saying they're literally going to ban all combustion engines by the year 2035. I don't know what they're going to do about over-the-road truckers. I'm not sure what they're going to do about farmers who till the fields or, you know, tend the grapes in the Napa Valley. I'm not sure what they're going to do. But right now, they're saying at the very least, they're going to ban the sales of gas. But their goal is to be an emission-free state in 10 years, a little over 10 years. Well, what's that, 13 years. I'm calling bunk on this. That is literally pandering to a progressive. If you think for a second that the, by the way, California actually has one of the largest economies in the world by itself. It's bigger than most nations. And this particular story from JustTheNews.com points out that they have an estimated 30 million drivers in that state right now, and that just under 1% of U.S. drivers are driving electric cars. So if you think for a second that you're going to take in 10 years, you're going to wipe combustion engines off the interstates in California, you are sadly mistaken. I'll also go ahead and just go lawyer Phil on you for a second. I am pretty sure this qualifies for what we refer to as a burden on interstate commerce. And what that basically means is, and it's one of the foundational principles of interstate commerce, is you cannot place a burden on it. A state cannot enact laws that literally discriminate against out-of-state actors or against, or for that matter, favor in-state actors to the point that it wipes out a section of the stream of commerce. You can't do it. And so Boomer's raising his hand. Yes, in the first row, Mr. Boomer, what was your question?
Back this emission thing in California.
Yeah.
Does that involve, like, planes?
I don't know.
Boats?
I don't know.
I mean, all of it. What are they going to do?
What happens in the port of Los Angeles when the combustion engined plane or ship ports, you know, comes to port? I can't even talk anymore. This story's got me
only
so
upset.
Electric
planes can land here.
Yeah, exactly. Good luck finding your electric plane.
Oh my God.
But burden on interstate commerce. Law here, I'll tell you what. Let me just go. Laws must not discriminate against out-of-state actors or out-of-state competition or have the effect of favoring in-state economic actors. If a law is discriminatory, the state must show it has no other reasonable means of advancing its legitimate local economic state interest, and it must not also be unduly burdensome. If you think for a second that the auto manufacturers are going to sit idly by and say, oh, look, one of the largest economies in our nation is now shutting us off, you are sadly mistaken. The big three auto manufacturers are already at this moment talking to their legal teams, and big firms are being paid lots of retainer dollars to start drafting documents about how they can crush the souls of the idiots in California who think that they can pass something like this. It won't happen. Now, if you want to go ahead and set emission standards, maybe, but even those can get questionable if you get too out of hand. Because we are not an economy that is ready to just flip the switch. That was a pun, wasn't it? To flip the switch and go all electric. You know why? Because all electric is still an emerging process. It's still an emerging technology. I mean, you might say, well, Tesla's got it going on. Or you can buy a Chevy Volt. Okay, that's great. But how much have you got in place in terms of the infrastructure necessary to support an all-electric economy? And oh, by the way, what happens to the electric grid when every single of 30 million drivers is having to charge their vehicles overnight for the next day? It's not going to happen. It's not. Not for a long, long time. Will we get there one day? I don't know. I don't know that we will. I could see us having hybrids. I can see us doing, but here's the bottom line. Range anxiety apparently is going to get in the way of this. Because I'm going to tell you right now, there's 30 million drivers out there in California going to have them some range anxiety. Well, Pete Buttigieg is the Secretary of Transportation. And Buttigieg was actually in Alabama not long ago. And Buttigieg came down here, and BirminghamWatch.org talks about on July 1st that when Interstate 65 was built, it displaced black neighborhoods in Birmingham. And U.S. Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg drew on that fact when he announced a new initiative designed to undo some of the systemic inequities in infrastructure. So, yeah, Buttigieg was here in July. He was welcomed by the only Democrat in our U.S. delegation. That's Congresswoman Terry Sewell. He had a whole plan. He got a $1 billion initiative to fund projects that give people more access to their communities, like paving more sidewalks and connecting and creating greenways. Wonderful. He said Birmingham is the Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin said Birmingham is the perfect city to talk about the importance of transportation equity. What? And Woodfin said the city would apply for the grant monies under the program, but details of how the money will be used have not yet been finalized. What that tells me, too, is Buttigieg is also talking about the fact that he intends to see charging stations set up everywhere. I'm not sure how that's going to work. Because if you think you're going to line them up on the medians or on the shoulders of the interstate, no. And what about the rural highways? And how well is it going to work when the government is establishing charging stations at the expense of the private sector who earns a living by having people pay to refuel their vehicles? Okay, so then you're going to give grants to the private sector to boost charging stations at private industry, like private gas stations are now going to become private charging stations with government taxpayer dollars. And then on top of that, how long does it take? If you're on a trip, if you're rushing away from the hurricane on the coast and you've got range anxiety and you're not sure if you can make it all the way to Montgomery and you pull in somewhere down, you know, around Atmore and you find a charging station, but there's six other electric vehicles behind you, but it takes you 45 minutes to recharge and they're all freaking out because you're taking too long. Stop it, man. Unplug. We got to charge too. Just get you a half charge. But I can't get to Greenville with a half charge. It's going to be chaos. We're not there yet. Range anxiety. Well, unfortunately, those of us who apparently need counseling have range anxiety. I'll talk about it more when I get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, in Hour 3. This is your on-air counseling session for all of you who have range anxiety and refuse to allow the electric vehicle industry to be what it can be because of your anxious feelings. Oh, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Your constitutional rights are sacred and should not be.
And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. I got a call. Yeah, I do. Hey, line one, Jeff from Indiana. Jeff, do you have range anxiety?
Well, you know, there's a lot of old men that used to have range anxiety, and then they come up with that little blue pill.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm figuring, you know, if you got an older vehicle and your battery's not quite up to snuff anymore, would you like to get on the ground floor with me and we'll come up with a little generator, a little blue generator called it Voltagra. Look into your car and extend that range, man. It'll take you right on down the road.
Jeff, I'm done.
I thought you might have needed a good laugh today.
I'm done in, man. I am done in. I got nothing left.
I asked Boomer if it was going to make you hit the ground. He wasn't quite sure. So I figured.
If you were watching the video, I was like laid back in my seat on that one. All right. Jeffro, we love you. You have a great day, buddy.
You too, Phil.
Wow. What do you call it? Voltagra? Boomer's still going. This is a professional show. Get ourselves together here. Dadgummit. Yellowhammer News. Yellowhammer News. Right here in Alabama. Yellowhammer News. Guest editorial by Blake. I know Blake Hardwich. Blake Hardwich, she's a lobbyist for the electric industry, so go ahead and figure this is a biased article. But guest, electric vehicles are the future of the auto industry, and Alabama must make sure it has a place in that future. Okay. It says, as the nation's fourth largest auto manufacturing state, Alabama's automotive industry has a huge impact on our economy, providing tens of thousands of Alabamians with good-paying jobs. Yes, that's true. As the industry continues to evolve, it is critical that Alabama evolves with it so we can stay competitive as a top automotive state. Yes, that's true. It has become increasingly clear that electric vehicles will be at the forefront of this change and the focal point in automotive innovation and growth. That is moderately true. That is moderately true. We are not at the point yet where you can just say, like California, we're going to replace combustion engines. We're not. Now, do we want to make sure that we've got a place in whatever is being manufactured, like an all-of-the-above type policy? I would agree with that. It says, fortunately for Alabama, our state is making impressive strides toward positioning itself to fully capitalize on this new era in electric vehicle technology. Governor Kay Ivey and the Alabama legislature have stepped up, provided critical funding, incentives, and resources. Have they really? I don't recall the legislature allocating funds to electric vehicle manufacturing. Do you, Boomer? I don't recall that. No, he's shaking his head no. With funding appropriated in part by the Alabama legislature, she says it here, Blake is a female, Blake. With funding appropriated in part by the Alabama legislature, the Alabama Department of Economic and Community Affairs awarded 18 grants totaling more than $4.1 million to finance the installation of electric vehicle charging stations across the state in 2021. I'd like to know where they are. Hey, Boomer, can you look up, can you just go ahead and do a search, do Alabama electric vehicle charging stations, see if you can figure out if there's a map or something that shows you. ADECA recently released an updated EV infrastructure plan. I did see that. It was a 60-page tome talking about how they're going to do great things for the future. But here's the thing. Go with me here. This is in Yellowhammer News. This is an Alabama lobbyist, and she says, the charging infrastructure is critical to alleviating range anxiety that may deter some buyers from purchasing EVs and achieving increased EV adoption in Alabama. You think? That's what it always boils down to. But then again, Charlene and I take a trip. Sometimes we take a trip based upon which of our vehicles gets better mileage. Range anxiety is not just electric vehicles, but the very idea you're going to label us as consumers, non-consumers, this is insulting. You're talking about, by the way, the average cost, I just looked it up a moment ago, the average cost of an electric vehicle in the United States as of about a month ago, $66,000. $66,000. Well, and it also pointed out, by the way, that in the month of May, I believe it was, of this year, the cost of an electric vehicle actually went up 3.8%. Now, we're in a recessionary economy, but it went up 3.8%, which the article I was looking at noted that was rather disappointing because we were told the electric vehicle costs would start coming down. Well, bull crap. Why should they come down? They're being subsidized by the government. They have no incentive to build the better, more affordable mousetrap. They don't. Because they know you're being forced into it. If you live in California, why would they lower the price in California? They could charge whatever they want to because you have to buy an electric vehicle. What you got, Boomer?
So there's 23 unique level 3 charging stations, 50 charging station ports, and then there's 183 level 2 charging stations. This is all across Alabama. And obviously, I guess the level 3 is more powerful than the level 2 charging stations. So there's not that many.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
All right, during the break, we got to figure that out. But even still, wow. All right, folks, we're in it. We're in it neck deep. If you got range anxiety, I got news. You're in good company. I got it with you, and I'm proud of it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and more to come. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, covering all of North Alabama, saving the world one soundbite at a time. I got a caller who held on during the break, so let me grab that real quick. Line one, Marcus from Huntsville. Marcus, how you doing, man?
Hey, it's another beautiful day. How are you guys?
I'm good, sir. I'm good. What's on your mind?
So I was talking about the EV charger. So the different levels is basically how quickly it can charge, and sometimes it's how it can charge.
Okay.
So some vehicles charge through AC. So the plugs push AC into your vehicle, and an internal inverter or converter changes it from AC to DC.
Okay.
Now, obviously, it doesn't matter what level charger if your inverter is only rated at a certain amount of speed for conversion, you're only going to be charging your EV so fast. So a lot of the stage three or the level three or whatever people call them, they'll have a DC quick charge, which means it's got two big fat cables that run directly into your battery and bypass that inverter. As I was explaining to Boomer a little bit, so you can charge them faster, but charging an EV faster is the same, basically the same thing as driving it like you stole it. So if you have a gas car and you drive it fairly moderately, you know, that engine's going to last a while. If you throw a turbo on it and you're driving it like you stole it and hot rodding it, you're going to end up having to rebuild that engine. Well, this doesn't affect the electric motors as much as it'll start to degrade your battery.
Oh, wow.
And I love electric vehicles, and I'm a huge EV enthusiast. I've actually converted all my lawn care stuff is electric, and it's actually charged off of solar. So I'm at $0 cost of operation for all my lawn care stuff. But the fact of the matter with batteries are these batteries will slowly get smaller. So you are essentially, say you go buy a brand new Tesla, it has 240 miles range. You essentially have a gas tank that is slowly shrinking over time. So you will be able to hold and use less of a charge because of the way the batteries are made. They have a crystalline core structure. So as you charge them and they heat up, and as you use them and they heat up, they expand and contract in the middle. Those crystallines start to get further and further apart, and the batteries become less efficient.
I had a story the other day, Marcus. Let me ask you this. Because you sound like you definitely know what you're talking about. I had a story the other day about a family that bought a used, I think it's Chevy Volt, I believe. It was used. They did not realize the battery had degraded like you're talking about. They bought it for their daughter. Within about 6 to 8 months of having bought it for her, the battery degraded to the point that they went to see about getting a new battery installed, and it was more than what they had paid for the car itself.
Yes.
I mean, that's...
So I believe for like a Model S. So I did heavy diesel in the military, and I worked for the military as a contractor for a while, and I actually did mobile mechanic stuff for a while. And we put a rebuilt Jasper 5.7 Hemi in a customer's Magnum, and it was like $8,500 or something like that.
Wow.
I looked into Nissan Leaf because I still wanted an EV, and my bank account agrees more with a used Leaf than a new Tesla. So I looked into them, and the battery packs on them are significantly less advanced than the Teslas. And a new battery pack was going to cost this was 2 or 3 years ago, because I did a cost-benefit analysis for an engineering economy class, and it was like $5,500. For the battery pack from Nissan.
Dang.
And it was going to be, I think, over $700 for them to install it.
Wow. I got from range anxiety to wallet anxiety at that point. But let me ask you this. What about the concerns that people have? They keep talking about range anxiety, like we're doing something wrong by being concerned about being able to go more than 240 miles. But doesn't that kind of pigeonhole us into a range, first of all? And secondly, the hope that we'll find a charging station, which the infrastructure is not built out. But then what about crisis like a hurricane when power's out for days at a time and we're told to evacuate? Then what?
So if you have to leave in a hurry, that's not going to help you much. Unfortunately, it does take time for them to charge. Now, most Tesla owners and stuff, because like I said, I've researched, looked into it. I'm actually an aerospace engineering major, and I love the electrical side and everything like that. So most Tesla owners, most EV owners will tell you, you can go from 15% to 85% faster than you can go 85 to 100% charged.
Okay, makes sense.
So as I tell people that are thinking about EVs, the range is getting longer than 250. They're getting a little higher now. So if you wanted to go on vacation, now me, I've got young kids, and my in-laws normally go with us, my wife's parents. So like we'll do a zoo crawl. We'll go down to Mobile, hit the Mobile Zoo, stay there for a day, go up to Birmingham at night, spend the night in a hotel, wake up, you know, do that. Well, with little kids, we normally don't eat in the car for obvious reasons. So we'll stop and we'll end up getting a meal or something like that, either eating in the store or, you know, eating right outside the restaurant or something like that.
Yeah.
If you're the kind of people that will go, and when you take a break to eat, you will sit there and you will, you know, you'll sit there for about a half an hour, 45 minutes. You can take your vehicle from 15, 20, 30, 40% charge, you know, up to 85.
Okay.
And, my sister-in-law has a Mach-E, and I believe hers shows you charging stations, but I know the Teslas have always, you plug in where you're going, and it not only shows you where all the supercharging stations are, but it'll tell you about what charge you're at and how long it'll take you, to charge up to a certain percent to get you to the next one.
All right, listen, last question, Marcus. I got somebody else on another line, so let me get one quick question in with you before I go. Is it feasible, because I know that there are actually, you know, that you have to have a special charging dock, you have a charging, you know, cord that has to mate to the car, but is it possible in a time of crisis to use a portable generator, a gas power generator for that matter, to charge your EV? Is that even a thing?
If you have the right outlet, because typically people will have a home unit, some people will hardwire them, some people will just plug them straight into a 220. So if you have that 220 with you and you have a generator that can put out 220, you can charge it.
Okay.
But again, your generator would have to be a pretty large generator to get the power in there. Your vehicle would have to be able to accept it. And, of course, you'd have to have a level 2 or level 3 charger for your home use.
Well,
but it is not overly feasible.
All right, Marcus, what a great call, man. You have not relieved my range anxiety, but you have at least enlightened me enough to where I feel more capable of having the discussion. So, hey, thanks for the call, bud. I appreciate you very much, and good luck with your continued studies. All right, let me jump over to line 2, Lee from Huntsville. Lee, how you doing?
Hey, well, that was a really educational call. I learned a lot there.
That was.
But I'd like to say that I think the infrastructure is not there to support this big, heavy push for electric vehicles. And if you push for too many too fast without the infrastructure to charge, it's going to be a mess. And it's going to be so many unhappy people who can't get where they need to go. But I think all of this is, I think, long-term plan, because I truly believe that overall governments want us more concentrated in smaller areas. Right. And this would automatically limit you. I think overall, they want people more concentrated in cities and urban areas, or at least sprawl, you know, like I would say Huntsville suburban. But, you know, just in areas like that. And because I honestly believe they think they can control people. And so if you're in your electric car and there's nowhere to charge it, you can't go anywhere.
Okay, so you know what?
Line a mile long at the charging station.
It's funny you say this, Lee, because I actually saw a segment last night on Laura Ingraham. Where they had that same discussion. I think Laura Ingraham herself made the point. She goes, this feels like we're being pigeonholed. We're being boxed into a 240-mile range. It's back to the old days. That's why there used to be towns every 30 miles in Texas, because that's what it took to be able to get to a gas station. You had to have a gas station along the way. Do you feel like they're trying to create the lack of mobility as opposed to the current level of mobility that we have?
Oh, absolutely. And the more technically advanced the cars are, the more easily, if you look at things like social credit scores that they have in China and other places, and you think to yourself that could become the future, how easy would it be to turn off your electric car because of wrongthink? No, you can't drive this car because you have expressed opinions we don't like.
Oh, you mean they hack your car and shut it down so you can't keep moving?
Well, it wouldn't even be a hack. There's already, even in all new gasoline-powered vehicles, a kill switch. And they say that to be able to kill once the police are chasing someone. But, I mean, how easy would it be to be like, nope, you don't get to use your car today because you made a social media post that criticized this current administration? It's just, I think it's dangerous.
Wow. Lee, my range anxiety just went way up. All right.
I'm sorry. What was the medication we need to get it for you?
We got some Voltagra. That's what we need.
Voltagra.
Lee, thanks for the call. We appreciate you. That was two classy calls, man.
Yeah, it was. I mean, one very enlightening, and the other one goes, oh, man, they're going to shut down my car.
Both of them were just solid, though. I mean, what an amazing audience. I tell you what a great – let's
that.
Do this, Boomer. Take the last break of the day. Go ahead and take it right now. We will do it. You want to call in, folks, we'll wrap up the day on your calls, 833-68-RIGHT. It's 833-687-4448. I got more stuff. I got things about – range anxiety. I mean, I got a whole article that's even titled, "What is range anxiety?" I got news. This therapy session did not relieve me of my range anxiety. Oh, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. Got me some Foo Fighters there. Thank you very much, Boomer. You know I like the Foo Fighters. So, all right, listen, I got some callers on the line. I got a couple of good stories, too, that I'm going to get back to before we leave up this subject. Range anxiety. That's where I am right now. I got Wiley in Guntersville on line three. Wiley, how you doing today?
Doing good, Phil. Good to enjoy listening to you every day.
Thank you, sir.
I've got the cure for your range anxiety.
Yeah.
You know, as our roads are, you know, crumbling apart nationwide, so you're old enough to remember slot cars, I'm sure.
Man, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. As they repair our roads nationwide, they just put a couple of, you know, rails in there and add voltage to them, and they put contacts over the bottom of these EVs, and, man, you just run as far as you want to go.
That's genius. That is genius. And then we can also control it, like we can have somebody on the outside with a little handheld device just like pushing the button and the slot cars are running.
Now we could get dangerous right there.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I mean, Wiley, our generation play with slot cars. Do they still have slot cars, Boomer? I don't even know. Do they?
I don't know if they still have them, but I played with them.
All right, good. All right. Wiley, we like your idea. Good call, man. Appreciate you. Have a great day. Slot cars. I like it.
Yeah. Autopilot.
You just sit back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Play solitaire on the touch screen on your dash and just let the car do what it does. All right. Okay. I mean, you know, here's a story from Forbes. I'm just holding it up to the camera right now. Literally, they are talking about the fact that this is a very difficult thing to imagine. Like, for instance, with Hurricane Ida, I don't recall when that one was, 640, I think it was 2021, 640,000 customers in South Louisiana were out of power. Kind of hard to keep the electric grid going when everybody's trying to charge their car to evacuate. So we're not there yet. Am I saying we'll never be there? No. What I'm saying is things like California having a mandatory switch to completely going electric car in 10 years, not going to happen. But, here's the thing. Recent study on MarketWatch. Actually, I say recent. This was about 9 months ago. MarketWatch. More car shoppers are thinking about EVs, but still holding back. Why? Range anxiety. Okay, how do we get over range anxiety? Well, they say one reason that range, they say range is fading, range anxiety is fading. They say one reason that range is fading as a concern is that automakers are building new EVs with longer ranges. Well, that makes sense. Okay, but it's not prolific. In 2019, the minimum expected range on a charge was 184 miles, but the average one did deliver 195 miles. So 195 miles. In 2021, they jumped to 217. Okay, so we now have an increase of, 22. So you can go 22 more miles. Okay, great. And then EVs offered today in 2022, they say now offer an additional 257. So we're like an 18% increase. They're getting there, but that's creeping, man. That is creeping up. Well, I got one more article that'll tell you what a survey said would take to cure range anxiety. Before I do that, I'll get to a call. Line one, Junior in Huntsville. Hey, Junior, how you doing, man?
Hey, man, doing great. Hey, I think you have a wonderful show. You're a genius on the radio. Now, I wanted to suggest something that I haven't heard from any place else, and I listen to a lot of talk shows and Fox News and everything, about the IRS and the 87,000 additional agents.
Yeah.
And the armaments that the IRS has bought to go with them. And it is my suspicion that this is a beginning of what Barack Obama Obama called for early in his administration, which was an armed, a civilian armed force, federal armed force, that is just as powerful, just as well armed, and just as well trained as the DOD military.
I do remember him doing that. Yeah. In fact, I thought you were going to talk about electric vehicles. You got a thing on electric vehicles, or are we just talking about a different topic right now?
Well, yeah, I know you are. But you go.
Okay. Well, no worries, Junior. I didn't mean to cut you off. I was saying I had it on the board. You had a comment about electric vehicles too. Do you have one on that too?
I'm sorry, but I thought you'd be interested in this one.
I absolutely am. That may be a whole segment on the show sometime soon. Hey, Junior, thanks for the call, man. As always, appreciate you.
Welcome, man. Bye.
All right. Bye. All right. Yeah, Boomer. I thought he was going to talk about electric vehicles. Come on, man. What are you doing writing EV on the board? All right, listen, here's the thing. J.D. Power and Associates did a study. Holding it up for the camera. What is range anxiety? Well, okay, typically it says range anxiety results when life throws an EV owner an unexpected curveball and alters the daily routine. Like, here's an example, they say. Someone asks you to go somewhere or do something at the last minute, but you didn't fully charge your EV the night before. Now, depending on where you need to go and what you need to do, you might also need to find an open charging station and take the time to recharge. Well, listen, that happens now anyway. I mean, how many times have you been someone says, hey, man, let's run down to, I don't know, pick one. Run down to Birmingham and do this thing. Oh, dude, I got to stop for gas on the way, though, okay? No problem, because everybody knows it takes 5 minutes. But if you got to take 45 minutes to charge your vehicle, you might not be making that plan. So, yes, I do believe that range anxiety exists. But there's nothing wrong with it because it makes sense. So here's a story that came off MarketWatch. MarketWatch, dated January 26. Here's the headline. This is what it would take to relieve Americans' electric vehicle range anxiety. Okay. It says some automakers like Volvo and Mini have pledged to sell nothing but electric vehicles by the end of the decade, but many Americans remain skeptical that they could make that switch to an electric car. America has spent a century building up the infrastructure to support nationwide road trips and gasoline-powered vehicles. But electric cars, with their range, make some buyers nervous. So what number, Boomer, I'm going to get you to guess here, what number, it says, will ease the average buyer's range anxiety? Boomer, if you had to guess, what number did the survey say people would settle for?
500.
Dude.
Is that right?
That was pretty close. 518. 518.
I don't know. That extra 18 miles got me. I'm sold. 518, yeah.
518. So what number will ease average buyer's range anxiety according to MarketWatch? That would be 518 miles between charges. That's one conclusion from the 2022 Global Automotive Consumer Study published in January. Survey respondents were asked, how much driving range would a fully charged all-battery vehicle need to have in order for you to consider acquiring one? Americans averaged an answer of 518 miles. You know what? We travel more. China was only at their people polled, and they said something like 300. And then, you know, but here's the deal. There's only one vehicle in the entire market right now that can do that. It's a vehicle called the Lucid Air. And the Lucid Air is a luxury sedan built by a California company. It does have an average range of 520 miles on charges. It also costs $169,000. So between range anxiety and wallet anxiety, I'm not buying an EV anytime soon. Although I do recognize there's a place for them in the future. But you know what? There's a place in the world for a lot of things. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Great day. Enjoy this audience. Y'all make it fun. Boomer, good job, bud. We will be back here tomorrow, 2 o'clock. Right now, you got the great one, Mark Levin. Boomer and I back here tomorrow. We'll see you then. Have a good night.